If we don't fully appreciate, if we don't understand the depth of our sin, we won't fully appreciate, won't fully understand the depth of God's love. See, the people that best understand the love of God are the people that best understand their own brokenness and their own sinfulness. You see, if we suffocate our sensitivity to sin, we will unwittingly suffocate our appreciation of God's perfection, of God's holiness, of God's majesty. We'll lose the awe of God.
Biblical understanding. Sometimes the most foundational, even elementary topics can be difficult to understand. So how do we grab a spiritual understanding to these things that are so crucial to our relationship with Christ? Welcome to Transforming Conversations with Pastor Rock Dilliman. With over 30 years of ministry, preaching, and biblical study, Pastor Rock discusses biblical topics that bring them into a fresh new light that is easy to understand and apply to our lives. And now, your host for another Transforming Conversation, Greg Hughes.
Welcome back. Another Transforming Conversation. And we're going to take a little twist this week and just talk a little bit about the teaching, Pastor Rock, that you did this past Sunday.
Sure.
And that, you know, is the teaching was entitled that things that can't be numbered. And there's so many things in Scripture that really we could put that label on. One of the things I really like to look at was point six in your teaching. And point six says, if we don't fully appreciate our sin, we won't fully appreciate God's love. And in your expanding on that point, one of the things you said was the very things that ought to amaze us and humble us eventually bore us. And I think if we're all honest, we can all admit that we get used to the thought that, yes, we're saved. Yes, we're under the blood of Christ. Yes, we have blessings. And we almost throw those things around kind of as rote, kind of as old hand, as things were just, yeah, I know that. But really, you're right. They ought to amaze us.
Right. Vance Havner, a long ago preacher who's still one of my favorites because of his down-home way of capturing truth in a few memorable words, used to say that when we lose the awe of God, what we're left with is just awful. When we lose the awe of God, what we're left with is just awful. And he said that, I believe, in regards to the men who tried to keep the ark from falling off the cart when it was being returned.
Right.
And he said their chief guilt was in the fact that they had been around the Ark of the Covenant so much.
Right.
That it had become commonplace to them. They had lost their awe of it. They had lost their reverence. They had lost their respect. They had lost their reverential fear. They had lost their wonder. So they got careless and they made assumptions. God had given clear word it was not to be touched. And God was certainly big enough to keep it from coming crashing to the ground.
Right.
Their sin wasn't concerned for the ark. Their sin was carelessness and presumption with the things of God.
Right.
Because they had become, let me put it this way, they had become more familiar than they ever should have. And I think there is a danger inherent in following Jesus for a long time. It's the danger of getting so familiar with words that capture spiritual wonders, words like grace, mercy, favor, forgiveness, and so on, to become so familiar with the sound of them that they lose their impact. You know, there's an old expression that comes from farmers. they used to speak of something being weaseled. Now, let me explain what they meant. You all know that the weasel is a small animal, and weasels love to raid hen houses. But when they do, they don't crush the eggshells and have the content spill out on the ground and then try to lick it up from the ground. Weasels have these tiny, tiny little fangs. And when they get into the hen house and they have access to the eggs, they make two tiny, almost imperceptible holes in the eggshell with those two tiny little fangs of theirs, and then they suck the contents out, leaving the shell intact. So the farmer comes in, and the egg that has no content looks like all the other eggs.
Right.
Until he picks it up and realizes it's been weaseled. It looks good, but all the content has been sucked out of it. Now, I think when we become overly familiar with biblical terms, they get weaseled. We know the words.
Right.
We know what they're referring to, but they've lost their content for us. They've lost their juice. They've lost their substance. So we sing about amazing grace and really don't feel amazed.
Right.
We talk about God's mercy enduring forever without feeling the weight and the impact of that reality in our souls. We talk about the second coming without it shaping what we're going to do in the next 10 minutes. We sing about things, we talk about things, we preach about things, we teach about things, we put things on banners, we put things in poems without really feeling the import and the impact of the words. The words have been weaseled.
Right.
And so there's always a danger with familiarity, because we make the assumption that because we're familiar, we fully understand. And yet many times, yes, we're familiar, but we don't fully understand. Just like you can be familiar with another human being and never fully understand them.
Right.
We can be familiar with concepts that are shared with us by God without fully understanding them. This coming week, I'm going to be touching on 1 John 1:9, because it's a passage that most Christians are very familiar with. It's one we learn early on because we need it. If we confess our sins,
right,
He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this coming week, I'm going to make the reference. It's a passage that's frequently quoted but seldom understood. And I don't think that's an overstatement.
Right.
Because people don't stop to think about why it says God is faithful and just to forgive us, rather than saying He's merciful and gracious to forgive us.
Right.
And I'm not going to give away the story, but all that to say, there are many things we glibly quote that we don't fully comprehend or appreciate. So my point was, if I am regularly assessing and confessing my sin, rather than that dragging me down in despair and what's the use, if I understand things properly, the ongoing awareness of my sin through confession, Lord, I shouldn't have done that. Lord, I should have done that, reminds me powerfully of how I am constantly reliant upon grace, upon mercy, upon forgiveness, upon unmerited favor, upon God's faithfulness, Amen. Upon God's justice to his covenant, upon God's compassion. It continually reminds me that one of the great blessings God has given to us is his announcement that his throne is a throne of grace and mercy. Because if it weren't a place of grace and mercy, how could any of us come boldly?
Amen. That's right.
See, if it was a place only of perfect justice, who would come boldly?
That's right.
If it was a place of righteous wrath, who would come boldly? But it's a place of grace and mercy. As I appreciate, and again, the word appreciate doesn't mean I'm thankful for it. It means I have an understanding of the gravity of it. As I appreciate my sin, I think an unanticipated but very real consequence of that is it sustains an appreciation for God's holiness when compared to my brokenness, for God's love when compared to my selfishness, for God's perfection when compared to my sinfulness, for God's grace when compared to my track record. And so the regular confession of sin, I think, fuels our love for God, and our love for God is the goal and the essence of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, and it is the greatest commandment and the summation of all commandments.
That's right.
Because, you know, if you take the Ten Commandments and lay them alongside Jesus saying, greatest commandment is to love God and love your neighbor as yourself, it does summarize all ten. Because if you love God, you will not have other gods.
That's right.
You will not use his name in vain. You will honor his Sabbath. If you love your neighbor, you won't steal his wife, bear false witness against him, murder him, and so on.
Right.
So everything is summarized in those two, and the greatest is to love God, because only when you love God will you and can you love your neighbor. And our love for God is fueled, informed, and stretched by our awareness of our own brokenness. And without that, grace, mercy, forgiveness, I'm saved. Somebody said, those are things we should never get over.
Right.
And yet a lot of believers look like they got over being saved a long time ago.
But I think it's safe to say that we all experience that to some degree.
Sure. It goes with the territory.
But we just have to have things in place in order to remind ourselves of the goodness of God, as you were saying.
Right. Look, if I learned after my heart attack, if you live a sedentary lifestyle, if you spend most of your time in a chair in the office, a chair at home, the seat of your car, and so on, it poses as much risk of heart attack as smoking a pack and a half of cigarettes a day.
Right.
So if you're aware of that danger, you have to take steps against it. You have to be intentional about exercise.
Right.
Take the steps instead of the elevator. Walk to the store instead of hop in the car. You just have to be intentional. Same thing, if we're not going to take the things that ought to amaze us for granted, then we have to be intentional about confessing our sin, because that will then make those things special.
Right.
And we have to be intentional about praise and thanksgiving for those things.
That's right. And we all always, not always, but there's a lot of times we fall under the danger that this spiritual life doesn't take work. It doesn't take maintenance. It doesn't
work out your salvation.
That's right.
With fear and trembling.
It is an effort.
For it is God who is at work within you. See, it's the two sides of the coin. If God wasn't at work within us, all of our work would be in vain.
That's right.
But God with us and in us doesn't mean we don't have work to do.
Exactly.
That's like the old adage, pray as if everything depended on God and work like everything depended on you. That's the two sides
That's
of
good.
The coin.
Right. And because it's a free gift, we maybe equate the free with not having to
Cheap.
Do our part. Right. But it's not.
No.
Right.
No. If somebody gave me a new Mercedes, it would be a free gift. It would not be a cheap gift.
That's right.
And the salvation that God affords us was only free to us. It cost him more than we can imagine.
Amen. And that's
and again, when I'm reminding myself of my sin, I'm reminding myself of his sacrifice for my sin.
Amen.
And then the cross doesn't become weaseled.
Right.
The resurrection isn't weaseled. The sufferings of Christ aren't weaseled. The right. new birth isn't weaseled.
And those are the things that we need to keep amazing us. That needs. To
if we lose the awe, what we'll be left with will be just awful.
That's right. Well, 15 minutes goes quick.
And, yeah, it does.
Again, if you have any questions or any thoughts that you'd like to send over to us in order for us to unpack a little bit further, please email them to myself, greg.hughes@acac.net. That's two G's on Greg. So that we can give them Pastor Rock and just things like this, where we need to start appreciating and not allow the weasel to suck out the marrow of what God has done for us.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you. And I just thought it's actually Greg with three G's, one at the front and two at the end.
Yes, sir. Appreciate your time, Pastor
Thank you,
Rock.
Greg.